This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement is no longer a question of whether Malaysia is in or out. For all intents and purposes, Malaysia is very much a part of the TPP, especially after the Malaysian Lower House of Parliament approved the agreement back in January this year, being the only country out of 12 that has ratified it so far. Dr. Syed Mahmud Ali, an author of several books on international relations, believes the TPP has still some distance to go before becoming a reality, with the US providing the biggest uncertainty.
TPP has been agreed to by the 12 countries, but executive branches do not have sole authority on the final ratification. Legislative branches do that. Bigger than that, the top economic power, which is a member of TPP, the United States, is in a state of transition, as you know. They are facing their most divisive presidential and legislative elections on the 8th of November. And unfortunately, both the main party contestants, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and Mr. Donald Trump, have both officially made the statement that they're opposed to U.S. ratification of the TPPA. And the current Congress, it seems to me, and potentially the newly elected Congress, which will take office in January next year, could well go against it.
Syed also has concerns the TPP may not be as balanced as its supporters paint it to be.
One thing that I'll tell you is that 8,000 words of the investment chapter is direct copy of U.S. trade and investment agreements like NAFTA and so on. So the United States has agreed to TPPA because its negotiators have been able to transmit whatever agreement the United States has made with other free trade partners in the past and move them onto the TPPA's details. So the United States is likely to gain quite significantly from the TPPA because of its economic global position. Other member states, it is less clear that they will gain equally or even comparatively. They will make some gains, but they will have to make more changes because they are less economically developed. But once those changes are done, these economies, such as Malaysia's one, may be in a stronger position to compete with partners outside the TPPA as well as within the TPPA.
Missing from the TPP agreement is China. Syed feels this is significant.
I think the TPPA is weaker in the absence of China. China is the world's second largest economy. It's still dynamic, still growing at 6%. And I think it'll continue growing between 5 and 6% for the next decade. Leaving such a large Asian economy outside the TPPA can only reduce the overall impact of the TPPA. It'll also encourage China to other things like building AIIB, the other models that there are. Now, China has the capacity, it has the surplus, it has the leadership, and the Chinese leadership takes the long view. We have seen that, certainly for the last 30, 40 years.
With US President Barack Obama's term in office ending in November this year, concern for the TPP's future is understandable. Edgar Kagan, Deputy Chief of Mission at the US Embassy in Malaysia, explains where the TPP is right now in Congress.
Essentially, under what's called a Trade Promotion Authority, which is colloquially known as Fast Track in the United States, that was passed last year, there is a process for formal submission of TPP to the US Congress. So as I understand it, the administration has been taking the necessary steps which would allow it to be formally submitted to the Congress for action in the last session of Congress after the presidential election and before the new Congress takes place in what's widely known as the lame duck session.
In the meantime, both presidential candidates, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, have made it very clear how they feel about the TPP.
You want to approve Trans-Pacific Partnership. You were totally in favor of it. Then you heard what I was saying, how bad it is, and you said, I can't win that debate. But you know that if you did win, you would approve that.
That is just not accurate. I was against it once it was finally negotiated and the terms were laid out. The facts are, I did say I hoped it would be a good deal, but when it was negotiated, which I was not responsible for, I concluded it wasn't.
It is clear the TPP is far from being ratified in the US, the largest economy in the 12-member grouping. Are concerns over America's commitment to the deal justified?
The president has made very clear he wants this to happen in his remaining time in office. And the administration is taking the appropriate steps under our laws to set it up so that it is possible for this to be done in what we refer to as the lame duck session of Congress. The administration is very committed to it. Whether or not it will happen, obviously, is going to be subject to a lot of debate in Congress. The president is doing everything he can to support that. I think ultimately, though, it will be done on the basis of assessments. And it's worth noting, the Republican candidate and the Democratic candidate for president have both come out against it. That creates a different framework for the debate than one might have expected a year ago.
The TPP has faced constant criticism, with many claiming the U.S. will benefit the most from it. Kagan believes this perception is inaccurate.
That's obviously a common view amongst trade critics, is that FTAs benefit the big countries at the expense of the small. I mean, what is interesting is if you see the debate in the United States, there is quite a few people who take the opposite view, who believe that FTAs benefit the other countries and hurt the United States. But I think the trade critics take that view because it's one that's easily understood. You know, this involves 12 countries. It's not just the United States and Malaysia. I think that this perception is a very simplistic one. And I think the proof of it is that if it is so advantageous to the U.S., it seems a little strange that there's so much debate in the U.S. now about whether or not it should be passed.
China's One Belt, One Road initiative comes at the same time as the TPP, appearing as a possible alternative. Kagan feels there are differences.
In my view, the two are not in competition with each other. One Belt, One Road is fundamentally about infrastructure, and TPP obviously is not. One Belt, One Road obviously is not a trade agreement. So I think the two are very different. I don't think that this reflects a deeply polarized world. I think that by and large, it reflects a desire by a number of countries in the region to have a very high standard trade agreement that deals with 21st century issues, that addresses things like intellectual property, labor, environment, that tries to deal with non-tariff barriers, and to try and create a framework that allows the highest benefits to flow to the greatest number of people, including on the services side, including on investment.
Back home, Datuk J. Jayasiri, the International Trade and Industry Ministry's Secretary General and the man leading Malaysia's TPP negotiating team, remains focused on seeing the deal through. He explains where the TPP deal is now.
The negotiations are over. We signed the agreement on the 4th of February this year. Now, after we signed this agreement, countries have to go back and get their domestic processes done to be able to ratify the agreement, because the agreement can only be implemented after everybody ratifies. For Malaysia, we have to amend the laws. And now we are in the process of amending 18 laws identified, and there are different stages of preparation, and it will be sent to Parliament for amendments. Then we will decide on the ratification of the agreement.
The TPP now faces several challenges. One notable one is the uncertainty what the new US president might do with the deal. Jayasiri is, however, confident this issue will be resolved.
What I know is that the US administration is making preparations to get their implementation bill agreed or at least considered by Congress and get the approvals from Congress so that they also then will be in a position to ratify. When it is going to be done, I can't say for certain, but there has been a lot of news reports that they intend to do it within this presidency.
The TPP is set to go into force in February 2018 if set conditions are met.
The negotiations are completed. What is now outstanding is the ratification. The agreement says that within 24 months of the signing, all 12 parties must ratify. Then 60 days after that date, the agreement will come into force. That means it will be implemented. Now, if that situation doesn't arise, then what would happen is they will see if there are six countries who have ratified the agreement, accounting for 85% of the total GDP of the 12 countries. So that's the second condition to be met. So once that condition is met, then the agreement will be implemented. Those who don't ratify, and when the agreement comes into force, you will not be a party to the agreement yet.
For now, many uncertainties suggest the TPP may not happen. What are Malaysia's plans in a worst-case scenario?
If TPP doesn't take off, then we will have to find ways to engage those countries within the TPP that do not have free trade agreements with us. You know, four countries there do not have free trade agreements with us. And these are important markets. So if TPP actually doesn't happen, then we will have to see how we're going to engage those countries because they are important trading partners, source of investments technology and so on.
The TPP's agreement's course is set. We now wait to see if and when the remaining 11 countries will ratify the deal. In the meantime, it may be beneficial for all firms, large or small, to prepare themselves. Even if it's not for the TPP, then for their own betterment.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.